It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We have U.S. Senator Ron Johnson on the line to talk about the federal response to the pandemic. The $3 trillion HEROES Act passed the House last Friday, but Senate Republicans are pushing back on a fresh round of coronavirus relief, balking at the overall cost of it. So what do you want to tell Senator Johnson about how Congress should handle pandemic-related aid? What do you want to know from the senator from Wisconsin? We're at 800-642-1234. Ron Johnson is a Republican in the Senate. He chairs the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee. Senator Johnson, welcome back to the Ideas Network. Senator Johnson, can you hear us?
Good morning, Kate. Hope you're staying healthy.
You too. I'm glad you can hear us. So last week, the House passed the $3 trillion relief package, sending it to the Senate. It includes another round of direct cash payments, an extension of unemployment benefits, hazard pay. How do you feel about it? Republicans are opposing it.
Well, we've already passed about $2.9 trillion of relief. It's a massive relief package. It was passed very fast, but just put it into perspective, many economists are saying we've shut down about 30% of our economy. That's about $600 billion a month. So just do the simple math, $2.9 trillion is almost 5 months of total replacement costs for 30% of our economy. So we've authorized more than enough money. It's hard to get exact up-to-date figures, but my staff's been tracking this pretty close. We've probably spent probably no more than $900 billion of that $2.9 trillion. So we still haven't spent $2 trillion. I, for the life of me, can't understand why you'd want to authorize another $3 trillion. So what we should be doing is taking a look at what we passed so rapidly. And again, I supported that. We had to flood financial relief to workers and to businesses and make sure that we provide liquidity to markets so they wouldn't collapse.
So you're saying a wait-and-see approach would be best right now?
I wouldn't say wait and see. What I would say is analyze what we've already done. Find out, you know, what businesses, what individuals that desperately need help aren't getting it right now. Why aren't they getting it? We all knew when we passed something that massive that fast would be far from perfect. It was far from perfect. And so there are many things I think we can fix about the program to make sure that, for example, PPP just blanketed the economy. You know, many businesses that didn't need PPP got it. I'm not blaming them. The standards were so low. They have no idea what additional shutdown orders may come about, so they thought they better step up the plate and get the loan. But there are many businesses that didn't get it, you know, particularly smaller Main Street businesses. And if you really take a look at how we've shut down the economy, and I have no animus toward big box stores, but they've been allowed to stay open. It's the Main Street businesses that compete with them that have been forced to shut down, and you've seen people's life savings wiped out. So we need to take a look at the exact economic impact of this coronavirus crisis and try and target relief in a more effective way than we have in the past.
Is there anything specifically that you're looking at in this new fresh round of coronavirus relief that you could see a compromise on?
Well, again, you take a look at the PPP program. It was somewhat restrictive. 8 weeks, 75% had to be payroll. A lot of businesses had already laid off workers. They had nothing for them to do. And so some businesses are requesting more flexibility in terms of the use of those PPP loans. I would, in general, be supportive of that. But if we're going to plus up and put more money in the PPP program, I certainly want to make sure that we direct it to those businesses that truly need it and don't continue to flood money to businesses that are, quite honestly, doing quite fine. You know, a lot of our economy is still up and operating. Some of our economy is actually going gangbusters because of the crisis. So let's make sure we don't provide funding to those businesses that truly don't need it and make sure we get it to the workers and the businesses that do.
Let's look at the World Health Organization for a moment and the funding there. Last month, President Trump froze U.S. funding for the WHO. What are you seeing in terms of that funding, permanently funding, ending funding for the WHO? Where do you stand?
Well, I think we need a World Health Organization in some shape or form, but it has to be free of corruption, and it has to play fair. And it wasn't free from corruption. It really pretty well did the Chinese government's bidding in this process, and that needs to be thoroughly investigated. From my standpoint, if U.S. funds are going to continue to flow to the World Health Organization, probably needs to have pretty much a complete management change at the top.
Let's take a call now. Carol is with us from Appleton. Hi, Carol.
Hi, good morning. I would like to ask the question referring back to the money that was dispensed for the plan for the American people and businesses. Who's watching the hen house on that? You had said, Senator Johnson, that you wanted to make sure that it went to the right people and such, but with President Trump firing the inspector generals, who's watching the hen house? Who's holding people accountable for where that money has gone and how it's being spent?
Well, first of all, thanks for the question. The inspector general that was fired was the inspector general for the State Department, so that individual would have no authority in this area anyway. Generally, it's going to be Office of Management and Budget looking at that pretty carefully, and then over time, Congress will have to take a look at that. But again, this money is flowing quickly. This will be the Treasury Department keeping tabs on it. It takes a while to account for all that. Unfortunately, government accounting systems are quite antiquated. Again, it's such a massive program. It was actually quite amazing how quickly the SBA was able to set up that program, how quickly that flowed through banks into the economy. That was the whole goal, is to get relief out to people quickly. And we knew it was not going to be 100% efficient. We knew it was not going to be 100% effective. The goal was, again, to make sure that markets didn't seize and that businesses hopefully could survive, hold on to employees for a short shutdown period. Unfortunately, the shutdown period seems to be elongated, and we need to take a look at the changed circumstances.
Carol, thanks. Let's go to Lyle now in Cornucopia. Hi, Lyle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Senator, as a fellow conservative, I'm a little embarrassed that the president is firing four of those inspector generals. But my question for you is, how do you, as a conservative, rationalize bailing out $50 billion worth of private airline corporations and then standing with your senatorial leader, Mr. McConnell, and saying that we might just let states and local municipalities go bankrupt? This is kind of not conservative. It seems pretty radical for Republicans.
Senator Johnson?
Well, Lyle, first of all, all inspector generals work for the president. They need to remain independent within their agencies, but they need to report to the president and they serve at his pleasure. In the firm previous administration, or in my oversight work, We literally had two inspector generals resign because of the corruption we found out in their offices. So not all inspector generals are created equal. Some of them deserve to be fired. In terms of bailing out the airline industry, it is a vital industry for our economy. And it is through no fault of their own that the coronavirus completely tanked their sales and grounded their aircraft. So if you want to be able to travel when this crisis has passed, I think most Americans would agree that we probably ought to do something to prop up something that's so incredibly vital to the operation of our economy. But that's true of so many other businesses, which is why we passed this $2.9 trillion relief package.
Senator Johnson, why did your committee, Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs, subpoena documents on Blue Star Strategies yesterday? Your colleague Kamala Harris from California said this: there are literally life and death matters on the line, and you're issuing a subpoena.
Well, this just is a continuation of our ongoing oversight efforts, but Senator Harris is fully aware of the fact that the majority of committee staff and the majority of committee work is focused on the coronavirus. We've already held at least three hearings on this coronavirus. So we are participating in multiple conference calls per week with members of the administration, FEMA. This administration has been incredibly transparent in consulting with Congress in terms of its efforts on COVID.
Senator Johnson, thank you for joining us.
Have a good day. Stay healthy.
You too. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network.